This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Will bringing that smoke yesterday on KJZ with the Harden stuff. And you know,
he's still on fire.
He absolutely is right about everything he just said there. No, no question about it. He joins us right now, as he does each week. And I guess there's two things we got to get to right out of the gate. First and foremost, it's as if Anthony, our producer, did not think we could hear him.
Yep.
As he's talking to you, Jay, and he's like throwing us under the bus about how, when these guys go national, they better get out on time because, you know, they're running late. And I mean,
I was like, Bart, man, Bart got that diarrhea.
That's funny.
Got to get Bart sharp now. Get him sharp.
Man. I'm a habitual line stepper. Just cut my mic. I'm just going to let him know. Just Bart, cut my damn mic.
Bart, you have no idea, Bart. I was in the car the other day listening to you guys' show, and you went on this rant. And I just sat there. My wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, sometimes I just go into like a – I get mesmerized when Bart talks. Like, he just takes me on these journeys, and I feel like I'm right there with him. It's really incredible.
Because you're my Brody, man. You're my Brody. You get me. Sometimes I'll be saying stuff when I don't get up with Green, and it just goes right over his head. Like, last week
I
feel that. You know what I'm saying? And I know exactly what you're talking about. Sometimes I'll be saying stuff and Greeny just goes over the head. Last week, I was talking about Roscoe Jenkins' team of me, and nobody felt what I was talking about but Ryan. He's the only one who
right
knew
away.
What I was talking
yep.
about.
Yep.
Dave just looking
RC,
at me like,
RC's laughing, and everybody else is just going, okay.
I got to say this, too. Every time I see Kyler Murray in that body language, I'm like, Bart. I see you, Bart.
Hey, don't his head look like?
And I hear you.
Don't his head look like Stewie? Don't he look like his Stewie? Like I think if you cut his head down, you would see that his head is made like a sideways football. Man, he got the widest damn face I've ever seen in my life.
Boy.
Dude looks like Stewie.
I really look forward to when we can all take this vaccine, and I have to see you guys on the road actually sit down with Kyler Murray and how you handle
Can't
that.
Can't wait for Super Bowl week.
Listen,
I hate this. I hate you. I hate everything.
He's not gonna kick my ass, so I don't worry about much. You know what I'm saying? Them little ass Junior Whopper hands, I'd be like, man, no. I'll eat them little pebbles.
So Jay,
like, really?
when we move to the national slot, and we'll be when we all get together, and we're kind of sharing the same building again, and all that stuff, and you'll have to see us every day. Are you still going to be part of our show?
You're the biggest
part
of our show.
Actually, I'll stay around. Well, I don't know. I get there every day at 4:30 in the morning. I might not stay around, but
you
every once in a while, you know.
Get your satellite phone.
The reality is that we all got like 13 jobs, so
yep.
I'm going to have a day where I'm going to have NBA Countdown, where I'll be right at the hotel across the street, so I'll just walk over and kick it with you guys. Let's do it. You let me know whenever you need me.
We'll give you a satellite phone, like an army. We want the big antenna, you know what I'm saying? You just call
it out.
It took
like
you a
that.
While to get satellite out, Bart. I was worried about you for a second.
Dangerous.
But
you know, if you can do that, and obviously you can always return the favor as well. Whenever you need somebody on NBA Countdown, I'm nearby.
I got you, Alan. I got you. I'll politic for you all. You and I have random conversations about hoop anyway, just sidebars on the phone.
It is kind of
so
funny.
You know I'm down with that.
It is true. I actually bother Jay when he's on the air sometimes and just like sending him texts. He's like, I'm a little busy.
Random text.
But it's all good.
Like, I'm in the middle of a segment.
Right. But I have to get this thought out. Now let's begin with, you know, again, you've been very strong on this and you have been for a while about James Harden. And I think it's hilarious that now it's Ramona Shelburne reporting. It's almost like each week a different ESPN reporter has to do it. James Harden, yes, still wants to be traded. And Stephen Silas, hey, we had a nice conversation. Really? And what was that about? Like, it's getting to that point, right, where we all know the end game and what's going to happen. And the move to the East, like you said, is the obvious, makes the most sense move. But I still say if I'm the Rockets, I'm not just selling him on the cheap. I'm making sure whoever is going to get him, I'm getting the same type of return that OKC would get. Like, I'm making sure that whatever I'm doing to move on from this player that means so much to my franchise as far as a marquee player and the impact that he has, that I'm on national TV because of him, that we're on commercials because of him, that I lose him, you better give me a lot so I can recover and rebuild pretty quickly. And that means if you're Philly or the Nets, you're going to need a third team and you're going to need some help. Don't you agree?
I agree. I agree. So, you know, one of the things that happened to me last night, I was going down this dark spiral of the internet on all these different trade scenarios. And this has not been reported by any of our, you know, Woj or Ramona Shelburne or people like that. It was just, you know, rumors like, well, would three first rounders and Ben Simmons work? And I'm like, wow.
Dang.
Three.
Three first rounders?
Ben Simmons?
And Ben Simmons?
Whoa.
Like, there's no way in hell I'm doing that if I'm Philly. Like, there's no
three's
way from Daryl Morey.
Three's a lot. Daryl would give up first.
Like, whoa, yeah. I don't know.
Would you give a Tobias Harris three first-round draft picks? That sounds about right.
Why the hell do I
right?
want – and I love Tobias Harris, another guy from
Tobias
Long Island. I don't want that if I'm the Rockets.
It's 19 points a game.
No.
So tell me this. I guess what I'm trying to figure out, too, because I'm – listen, you guys are like the basketball savants. I'm just like – I'm just trying to figure out. Like, who potentially has the best offer to present to Houston? Is it the Nets? Is it the 76ers? Or is it Milwaukee? Who can put together
–
is Chris Middleton a big enough starter? Is he a bigger starter than Tobias Harris?
No, the best deal is the one that Jay –
he's an all-star.
Look, I'm not going to speak for Jay, but I will right now, and then he could jump in. The best deal is offered months ago when he said Ben Simmons, James Harden, that's what you do. And I 100% agree. That's what you do. You can't have Ben Simmons and James Harden on the same roster. You can't do it. And so you make that trade, and I'm Philly. I make it, and I don't apologize. I go ahead and make it because that makes you a contender and maybe one of the top teams in the East, because that pick and roll will be almost unstoppable.
Exactly, Alan. It unlocks Joel Embiid. Now, look, you're committing to Joel Embiid, and we know what comes along with that, right? Like, the question is about his conditioning. The question is about his maturity. But when he does bring it, he's one of the, if not the best big in the league, right? You just need him to do that consistently. But just the pick and roll, that unlocks Joel Embiid. I guess it also comes down to, Brooklyn is still there. I just don't think Brooklyn would give up a Kyrie Irving. Like, it would have to be a Caris LeVert, a Spencer Dinwiddie, some draft picks. But I still don't think, if you're the Houston Rockets, that's enough. You need a star for a star.
I agree.
And that star is Ben Simmons.
I agree. Completely agree.
So tell me this. Like, when you look at Ben Simmons, how would he fit with John Wall and Boogie Cousins and Gordon? How would that fit? would he be the small forward? Would he go back to what he did last year, not so much hound on the ball? Can he play off the ball? He can't shoot. So how does he play off the ball?
But, Bart, I would say this, and Alan, jump in. Like, I think if you're able to get this deal done, you're straight in rebuild mode.
Yes.
Like, you're like, all right, if we're rebuilding – we're rebuilding around Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we made a move for John Wall. Love John Wall. Let's see how he comes off that Achilles injury. Let's see how he plays. If he plays well, maybe that can increase his trade value in the marketplace. Maybe we can get more in return for that after moving him. But you start with the foundational piece, and that foundational piece is Ben Simmons. You get him to commit there long term.
No, I completely agree. And then you surround him, right, with the shooting that you need. He does change your franchise a lot, though, because I don't think he gets enough credit for what he does on the defensive end. I think he's so impactful defensively, such a competitor, that I would rather have a younger group with him than an older group. I think you put him with younger players that have, like, the same mentality. I think he emerges as a leader that I do think he's got in him. I just feel like he plays on teams that have vets around, and – he was considered a bit of a coach's pet under Brett Brown. I've heard that some players there were looking at him sort of like a bit of a coach's pet. I don't know if he'd be that with Doc, but I would want to make sure that whatever I do, I surround him with shooting and competitors and younger players. I wouldn't put him on a veteran type team.
Alan, I'm really going to say this. And look, last year I was dead wrong. I, watched a lot of workout tape. I talked to his shooting coach. And I thought we would be talking about, Ben Simmons in the MVP conversation last year. I really did. Mm-hmm. But I stand by the fact that I think that he has top five NBA talent.
Yes.
Like, top five NBA-type talent. Now, whether he gets to that point or not, that's another question. But I think a lot of – and I'm a witness to this, man. Like, a lot of your talent has to be in an environment that's conducive for your talent to flourish. And I'm not saying that Brett Brown – Ben do a decent job. Obviously, Ben needs to take the right steps. But I think who surround him with can make the world of a difference for Ben Simmons. And I don't think the answer for him is Joel Embiid. I really don't. And I love Ben. I love Joel. I think they're two great individuals. I just don't see them clicking at the level that they would need to click at in order for them both to attain the level of success that I know they both can attain, especially Ben.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of, you thinking he can be a top five player, forget ESPN, because I don't go to ESPN for my information. I go to Jay Weezy for my information. Who is your top 10, and who was
that
overly,
top five, by the
who
way?
Who was too high, and what? Who was too low?
Wow, who's my top five in the league?
Well, you no, saw no, the no, top, your right? top you
ten.
Saw the top
I hate
one.
The top ten list. It's
well, the top ten is strong.
I want the D. Reezy.
But you saw the top fight, like the ESPN top 100 that they did. You saw the top five, right? I felt like there was some disrespect in that top five.
Could you just tell me them? Because I don't have it in front of me. I don't know exactly. You know, well, it's always funny. I always get all these analysts. Oh, these are our experts. Who they pick? I'm like, never got asked for my opinion.
Thank you. See, that's we need to reveal that. Thank you for saying that.
Every time.
I looked at the list and I'm reading the names of the people that like we consulted with these experts, and I'm going, I don't see Jalen Rose. I don't see Jay Will. I don't see.
Don't say,
you know,
Kendrick,
Tim
don't say
Legler.
Kendrick Perkins. I'm about to say don't say Kendrick nope. Perkins.
Like, who? Like, no offense to our guys, but what the hell? Like, and so they put LeBron and AD at 1 and 2. Luka, I believe, was what, 4? Giannis, I think, was he 3? Or? But all I know is this. Oh, yeah, and Kawhi was 5, I think. All I know is that KD was not in the top 5.
That's blasphemy.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, let's start there.
That's look, people can say whatever the hell they want. Now, well, Jay, you do all the simple-minded stuff. Oh, well, Jay, you do the boardroom. Of course you're going to say, KD. Yo, please. I'm just trying to tell y'all, I was saying this even before I started working with Kevin Durant. I've never seen a talent like his before. Dude, I've worked out with some of the best. I've seen guys work out like some of the best. I've never seen a dude that is 7 feet that can do the things with the ball that KD can do. And that is as efficient as KD. And I know he played against the Wizards and then, you know, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal didn't play. But, yo, his game is so fluid.
Yep.
Whoever came out with this damn list, that's a travesty that he's not a top five
coming off injury.
People just forgot.
Coming off injury or not shouldn't matter. He is the best, if not the second best player in the world. Achilles and no Achilles, it doesn't matter what he can do. And I'll tell you what, here's the other thing. We have a league right now with a lot of really good talent. But what we don't have is a league that has a lot of guys that I feel are watchable. Right? Kevin Durant might be the best player to watch in the game. Like, if you just put ISO cam on him in a game, it's enjoyable to watch him play because of what you just said. So damn smooth. The way he plays. And, oh, by the way, the fact that he's completely expressionless. I love when he daggers one and then he just kind of like gives a glance to the other team's bench and then just goes down the court. Like, I don't see it. There's not a lot of histrionics with him. There's not a lot of anything. It's a blank stare. It's cold-blooded. That's a guy I could watch play basketball over and over again, and I hate the fact that he's playing for Brooklyn because of that. I love watching him play, and I hate the fact that I have to watch him play in a Brooklyn uniform. I'll be the first one to admit it.
I got your poll question for today.
Okay.
Name your top five most watchable guys in the NBA.
I like
that.
Guys that you will stop what the hell you're doing.
Yes.
You will get a beer or get a drink, whatever adult beverage you want, glass of whiskey, whatever it could be. Yamasaki 18, preferably for me. High price. I got it.
There you go. Okay.
And just sit down and watch. Like, Luka's in there.
Yeah.
Luka's in there for me.
Luka's on that list.
Is Zion in there for you? Because that's what the NBA is pushing.
It's a great question.
Well, I was going to say, depends upon what you like. So I got LeBron because I always have to watch LeBron. But LeBron, Luka, I got to go KD.
Kevin, yes.
It's hard for me not to go Kyrie.
Dame's in there. I'm watching
Dame. You taking Dame over Kyrie?
10:30 on NBA TV or League Pass, I don't care.
So I guess
I'm watching.
I guess, what did you say, like, from the bubble, who's kind of put themselves in that conversation? Because Murray's a beast, too. And Murray's a beast, too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I can put Murray in that conversation. Like, and Alan, it would be hard for me, like, Dame or Kyrie, if you had to choose one.
I'm thinking.
Because we kind of forgot about Kyrie. Do you see, like, the mixtape the other day?
I know. The stuff he does is ridiculous. When he's healthy, and he's healthy right now, obviously, I like the sinister smile that's on his face sometimes when he's, like, when he knows he's healthy and he knows he's just going to completely devour his opponent. Like, that's a funny look that he puts on his face. See, it's, again, two guys that I love watching play, and I can't stand that, obviously, I have to watch them play on a team that, you know, is in the same damn city. It kills me.
And
absolutely kills me. But I
got to
be real. I got to be real. I love watching both of them play.
See, I like watching Ja.
Yeah. Ja's
getting there.
He plays hard.
Ja's getting there. I know you said Zion, too. I'll give you another one of that. It's like we've completely forgot about it. But, like, just watching Steph Curry fool around on the court, man, it's like a video. it's a video game. Like, yeah. My man is going up from like 45 feet, doesn't really care. He never holds his follow through. Like, it's like completely contradictory to what everybody else is taught shooting the ball. It's like on a slingshot. And he shoots the ball from it. I've never seen anything like it before. Like, I think that's a legit question. Top five guys.
I like
there.
That. I'm gonna discuss that one today. There's no doubt. So you already give me content. Last thing for you though, Jay, is I got to ask you. Kyrie last week had the whole stuff on IG about I don't talk to pawns, and he got everybody in the media all upset. And I just feel like, you know, it was completely unnecessary. He gets fined by the league. He doubles down on it. But then yesterday, he talks to the media, and everything's fine, and everything's good, and he has some fun with it. Well, like, so is this a reversal of his what he planned on doing this year? Was it an overreaction? Is it him just enjoying triggering people and seeing how we react? What is really behind this?
He's charming, isn't he, though? Like, sort of like it's interesting, like, when he chooses to be, like, Kyrie is the best advocate for Kyrie. Even like his omission of saying, like, hey, you know, I even messed up saying that Steve Nash couldn't coach. Like, I take that one back. That was on me. Like, it's funny for him because he has his personality, and I think it's going to be very, very much like the personality of the Brooklyn Nets. Because Kev and I have it too. Like, Kev hit me up like in an argument, then like next thing you know, like we're over the argument, everything's cool again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's what Brooklyn is this year. Like, they're going to be the most polarizing team in the NBA. Because every once in a while, they're going to say something like, what the hell? Where the hell did that come from? Like, mm-hmm. they're your homeboy that's just mad for no damn reason. Like, what happened today? Like, now I don't know, man. Just screw everybody. I don't care. You're like, what happened? And then the next day, it's like, yo, I love you, man. I really appreciate you. Love and respect. And you're like, where the hell? What is going on? Like, it's going to be that type of relationship with everybody. Oh, that's who they are.
I can relate. Can definitely relate to that from day to day.
That's Bart. Are you with Bart every day?
No. I think I'm like that. I got to be honest with you. I'm saying I think I'm like that. And
I have my melatonin today. I'm cool. I'm chill.
No, you're usually good.
It's
me that goes from day to day. I'm that box of chocolates. But you know what? They are going to be compelling. There's no doubt about it. They are going to be interesting. The most important thing is obviously if they are winning. And I think that's what will get everybody talking and getting off all the other stuff. Because you do have that group of people that are rooting for it to, you know, implode, and, you know, how the egos and everything will get in the way. I think that they're orchestrating this. I actually think they enjoy the idea of let's mess with them and let's get them talking about this. So let's give them something to talk about. And then in the meantime, once they do hit the court and everybody's healthy, that's going to be a problem, that team. They are going to be a problem. And if I'm Philly, I have that in the back of my mind, and I'm saying whatever it takes to get Harden. Because if he goes to Brooklyn, it's a wrap. Yeah. So I need to get him.
I agree. And I'm just wondering. One last thing for you before I let you go. All right. Go ahead, Bart.
No, all good, Brady.
I was going to say, I think Giannis signs – the max extension, but I think, just to let you know, because you know you hear from little birdies,
okay,
I think that there will be something as it relates to an agreement that if they don't get to the NBA Finals, Giannis will be allowed to go somewhere else.
Ooh. And so opt out with a
can't wait
like a clause.
He gonna have a John Carlos Stanton clause in his contract.
Ooh. I don't know what that is, what kind of agreement that's written or handshake. I'm just saying that if he wants to be there,
Pat Riley is waiting in the wings. You know it, and I know it. Pat Riley is waiting in the wings.
He that friend you don't want around your girlfriend, always giving her compliments and all that stuff. As soon as you get caught doing something, he right there to swoop in.
Exactly. Just saying, you know, just thinking about you. Hope you're doing okay too.
Damn.
Giving you love and respect.
He's Tay Diggs and best man. Caught you slipping. Oh, he's Tay Diggs and best man.
Jay, always great to talk to you, my man. Be well.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
I'm just getting a lot of, like, whatever's going on in your place right now.
Oh, no. But what happened is,
you got to mute.
First of all, I got the echo.
That'll
what
help.
Happened was, like, you know, when we come back on, I try to put these headphones on, but the paper towels slipped.
When are you? No, it's not funny anymore. Honestly, like, it's like, are you? You can't. You know, you can't go on. Like, when we're in a couple of weeks, we're on national television.
No, I'm gonna show them how I'm living.
You can't. No, you can't do that.
Okay. Yeah, that'd embarrass the company in the show. Okay, I'll buy some.
Well, you don't have to buy them. They should provide them for you. It's part of the equipment.
They were supposed to send me some more stuff. Remember, they were supposed to send me the setup. I still got the old Camerex.
You still have that, too, right? Aren't they supposed to upgrade us with a whole bunch of cool stuff?
Yeah, yeah. We're supposed to get lightsabers. We're supposed to get iPads, iPods.
Really?
All that stuff. All that.
All the toys for Christmas. People should understand. On radio, just understand this. We're on FaceTime because we're in different places, obviously. Bart has headphones with the microphone attached to the headset, like he's an air traffic controller. Yeah. I don't know what that is that you're using. It looks like a donut.
No, that was the ear thing. That's
the ear pad? Padding is completely shredded from your ears right now.
Yeah, both of the padding fell off. One, I have the pad. The two, I have to use some paper towel in the other ear so it won't scrape my ear.
No, legit, he's not joking.
I'm not playing.
It's tissue paper that is folded up over his ear under the cup of the ear holder.
Right, where the pads would be.
And because it's a lot of tissue paper. It's flapping around while he's talking to me. You can only imagine just how hilarious this really looks.
It's abrasive. So that's what happens. So when you come back, what happened is I dropped the tissue. So I had to pick the tissue up and put it underneath the ear.
Give me some tissue.
I had to get the tissue so I wouldn't cut my ear up. You know what I mean?
Can we get this man a headset? Can we get this man a headset, please?
We fought for years to try and get B&H.
B&H is out. They're out. They didn't want nothing to do with us.
They're dead to us.
It's out. So they don't want to help
us.
Matter of fact,
we might start a boycott.
I'd rather go to PC Richard and Son.
Yep, exactly. Let me call my boy Todd.
Well placed. Meanwhile, this portion of the show is driven by your local Lexus dealer. Lexus ES now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence. Take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See a Lexus dealer. Oh, what time do we have here? We do have, you know what? Let's get a couple of calls before we go to audio files, though, because there are a lot of people on hold, and I want to get to them. So let's do that now. Okay, let me just make sure my screen unscrambles. Steven in New Jersey's back after he had some phone issues. How we doing,
Steven? Hey, I'm glad they got me back.
Crystal clear.
Yeah, I want to get back to the question. I wanted to ask Bart. One, I got to agree with you as far as the headset goes. I'm the same way. If it's not broke, I got to, you know, tweak it up a little bit. I'm going to wait till that thing ride out. But, I mean, you're on TV now, so you got to, you know, you got to step up the par, you know what I'm saying? Get them Beats headphones or something.
Use some flex tape.
I got to look the part.
Bart, one, I want to say, or ask, you know, have you ever thought about getting into coaching? And then two, who do you think the next coach of the Jets should be? Because Adam Gase got to go. And then three, do you think if the Jets happen to win, let's say, two games, but somehow they win two games and the Jaguars lose the rest of their games, do you think they were looking to get in a QB like Carson Wentz to go back with Joe Douglas?
No, what it is, to answer your last question first, if they win a game, they don't get the first overall pick, they're going to move out of that second overall pick and move down and get that. Because remember, the Bears need picks. The Colts need a quarterback. So you try and get hold that pick for ransom and move down and get an additional number one pick or number two pick as well. And then you say, you know what, I'm going to ride out with Sam Darnold. Now it's about
– So you don't think Fields is worth it?
No, Fields, none of those dudes are worth it. You know what I mean? I think Sam Darnold's a better talent. And then what you do is you just start trying to get better pieces around him. Now, to answer your first question, you know, have I ever thought about coaching? I've thought about it, but, you know, coaches don't make enough money for me to deal with the stress and the uncertainty of being fired and having to move and go from city to city and go do all that kind of stuff. That's crazy. You know what I mean?
That's a commitment, too, as a coach. It's a lot of time. People don't realize how much time you are putting in.
All day. It's like all day. It's an all-day thing. It's going out to the Senior Bowl. It's been, you know, you're there longer, and actually coaches are there longer than players. You know, players leave. Coaches go watch film and have to stay there. Players are going about their day. You know, and what was the second question? The second question was about what coaches.
And what coaches would you, what coaches do you see as good candidates?
I always said David Shaw. I'm not opposed to the guy.
David Shaw from Stanford? Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to the guy from Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald. Of course, Eric the Enemy is my favorite choice. It's my number one choice. But not even the offensive coordinator potentially for the Tennessee Titans. You know, that he's been doing his thing for a couple of years. But when you do things like that, then you need an assistant head coach, much like Joe Judge.
Arthur Smith?
You better sit down. Yeah, Arthur Smith. Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a couple of other. I don't like. I think the bloom is off of Saleh out in San Francisco. I think the bloom is off. I don't know what kind of staff he put together, but you know he was a hot name last year as they were winning all these games and his defense.
I need a front man. I need a leader of men like that. I keep coming back to that. I'd like somebody with a resume. You haven't really named anyone that comes in with that. I've already done it here and there, and I get it. Mike McCarthy has a resume, and look how things are going in Dallas right now. I understand. But, you know, I also see Ron Rivera, and I see that Washington's heading in the right direction pretty damn quickly, right? So I just feel like the Jet job needs somebody that is a front man. And you need somebody that's going to take control, take command, and just bring some stability and credibility back to the organization. Sal's in Brooklyn. He has a suggestion on a coach. Go ahead, Sal.
Gentlemen, happy holidays.
Likewise.
You hit the nail on the head, bud. I mean, in a perfect world, I would love Rex back, but we all know that's probably not going to happen. Yeah. What about Gary Kubiak? I feel like his name gets forgotten every year. I know he had health issues and whatnot, and everybody wants the next young stud. But go to Google. Who wins the Super Bowl? Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, with the exception of Doug Peterson. All those Super Bowl winning coaches have been around. The young guys really don't win. They get there. They get to the playoffs. They're fun to watch, but they don't lock it up. So what do you guys think about Gary Kubiak?
You mentioned the health thing. I mean, remember, he was in the hospital a number of times. He really struggled.
Yeah, he said he can't do it physically because, remember, he was with the Ravens.
Did he have migraines? Like, what was it that was
it? I thought it was heart.
Was it a heart issue?
Yeah, I think he just can't handle
it. No, he had something where, it was the stress was just
too much. Yeah, he can't handle the stress. And so, like, he walked away from the game. Remember, John Elway asked him to stay on.
Yep.
He was like, nah, I just can't do it.
Right.
Him and John Elway are best buds. I mean, he was John Elway's backup for years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he walked away from the Ravens as well. You know, so I think, you know, Gary Kubiak, even though in name, I think he would have had a job if he said he wanted to have one.
Probably.
You know, so I think, you know, that's great to have, but I don't think that's a realistic thing.
All right, one more because this answers a question that we were talking about with Jay Will, which is top five most watchable NBA players. Jesse in Somerset has some suggestions. Go ahead, Jesse.
Yo, what's going on, fellas? I appreciate you taking my call. Yo, Han, this is actually the Devils fan from Atlanta. I called you before the hockey season, and I felt like I was steering the wrong direction because the New York teams are way better. You told me to follow the Devils.
You know what? I'm telling you, man. They got me. Subban, to me, just fell off a cliff. I thought they'd be so much better, and the goaltending was a major issue, as you know.
Right? Oh, yeah.
But, a major anyways, issue. I still think they're heading the right direction, though. I think they got good leadership. I love the fact that they brought in Fitz. I think he's a really good GM. I think he's perfect for them right now. They're in the right direction. They'll get it right. They got a super talent. The two of those kids, I mean, he shares a talent, obviously, as well. But I was so surprised the way Subban just fell off. I did not think he was going to be that bad for them.
Yeah, absolutely. The point I was going to make, though, I just want to tell y'all not to sleep on Atlanta and my man Trae Young out here. He's about to
watchable.
This season. Yeah, watchable. Okay. Yeah, he's 30-10 a night. Just about. He's nutmegging everybody.
Okay.
He's got Capella down with the pick and roll.
Well, no, he's nutmegging everybody, but Ariza. Ariza ain't about that. He said, I clothesline the hell out of you and pull your pony, pull your little Elder Barge hair out.
Whatever's left of that.
Yeah, pull that hair. Pull a patch out. You know you can't. You can't spare too many of them.
Yeah, I think it's a big year, obviously, for him, if you think about it, because obviously, again, it keeps going back to they traded Luka. They traded Luka. Well, Trae better become that watchable superstar as well. All right, let's get to, you know, we got some interesting stuff. Let's get to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, we now begin. We do. Okay, we have everything, so we can begin then with everything that we expected to have, which includes Aaron Boone. As we told you, some DJ LeMahieu concerns, because all the reports are they're like $20 million apart right now. And it's amazing to think the Yankees would be, like, you know, pinching pennies with somebody that important. Aaron Boone discussed DJ LeMahieu here.
There's not much more to say about DJ other than, you know, I think if we look over 2019 through 2020 and did a two-year MVP in the American League, it's probably him. His play completely speaks for itself, you know, and then you couple the fact he's this really great teammate that's been, despite his quiet reputation, a tremendous leader for us and an influential just person by the way he goes about things. So I think it's no secret that he is probably our number one priority to bring back this winner. And I know Cash is working on that, and hopefully at the end of all this, DJ's a Yankee for a long time.
Damn, Bart. Damn, Tanaka. Well, you hear that, Tanaka?
Still, though, can you put a price on a guy that essentially is glue, right? He unlocks everything. He's your leadoff guy. He helps. He makes Aaron Judge better.
He's flexible.
In the lineup, and he can play. I mean, can you put a... I can't believe the Yankees... It's the Yankees. You would think they're going blank check with this one about how important he is to you.
$25 million apart. To me, $25 million, $20 million apart speaks to the annual year salary. So that speaks to maybe he wants 5 years, $125, $125, and they only want to offer 5 years at $100. You know, because you look at what they're paying. Who's the guy in the middle? Hicks. You look at what they're paying.
Aaron
Hicks.
Hooks. Yeah,
they're only paying him 70. They're paying him, what, 70?
Yeah, well, you know that's the guy that, because of the injuries, you would say at first they got him for cheap, but they really didn't because he's going to be available. Right. Availability's a big issue. DJ, obviously, though, you know, we've talked about this. I mean, you get him, that means he's second base, and that obviously means that Glaber doesn't move off of shortstop, which you think is part of their plan. So it's something to watch closely, I'll tell you that, because it's as a Yankees fan, it annoys me. Meanwhile, fans have brought up Jim Harbaugh as maybe an option for the Jets. Harbaugh's their final game for Michigan is Saturday after they didn't play Ohio State last week. They will play, I think it's Iowa, right? Isn't that the game? Iowa Saturday?
How convenient.
Yeah, I know, right? They can still play one more game. But anyways, it has not been a great run for him at Michigan, no question about it. So some speculation about whether or not he would walk away from the job or that Michigan would want him. Want to move on from him. He's on radio in Detroit, and he had this to say.
My plan is committed to Michigan. I am, have been, am, you know, will remain. We'll sit down. Ward and I will talk at the end of the season on the current contract, and that's the truth.
So it sounds like he wants to stay, and it doesn't sound like they want to move on from him. So, Bart, I don't think it's going to be an option for the Jets, even if they wanted him. Oh, really?
Come on, man. Like, that's the padded words. I want to stay here. Come on, stop it, son. Get it. Come on, son.
Okay.
All right. I don't know nothing.
We got one more game to play, so I can't talk about leaving yet. I'm committed until I'm not committed.
Yeah, you can't.
Meanwhile, on the college football front, there's Lane Kiffin, as we've talked about. He's at Ole Miss.
But
the Auburn job's open, and some people think Lane Kiffin will climb all the way back to the top and get that Auburn job, and maybe he'd be interested in it. So, of course, you got to ask Lane Kiffin about it. And Lane Kiffin, who knows Nick Saban very well, went into the Nick Saban playbook. Take a listen.
I don't. You know, that's just product of when your players play well, you're going to be in rumors like that. So there's been no conversations, anything like that. I wanted to say, you know, what I learned from my mentor. If you guys are going to keep asking this, I'm going to have to tell you, I will not be the head coach at Alabama, okay? So stop asking me. I wasn't supposed to say that, but I just had to.
Now, you remember Saban was saying that when the Alabama job was open and he was in Miami and it was
as ink was drying. Didn't he leave during the regular season? This dude, he got ghosted during the regular season, I think.
I just love it.
That was a dude from Atlanta.
I know who you were talking about. But this is the game we play, so now we'll see if these are words that he ends up having to eat later on. Meanwhile, speaking of, again, another guy that said one thing and now suddenly changed his tune pretty quickly. Of course, money does talk. Kyrie Irving did speak to the media. Finally, the Pawns were on Zoom with him, and he addressed his Pawns comment to them. Take a listen.
Like I said, the focus is on what's going on in the task here, you know, my job. And I wanted to make sure that was clear. There are no distractions, nothing about dispelling anything, nothing about going back and forth, nothing about calling out one person or another. Not even to refer to you guys as pawns, you know what I mean, or media. It's just really how I felt about the mistreatment of certain artists when we get to a certain platform of when we make decisions within our lives to have full control and ownership.
Yes.
You know, we go through the rigorous season. We do everything we're asked to do, you know, and we want to perform in a secure and protected space.
Oh, secure and protected space. Once again, a nod to why Brooklyn. But I'll tell you what, it's fine. He wants that. That's fine. But it is a bit of a... Like, here's the conflict. You want that protected space, but yet you also want the ability to say and do whatever you want.
Which, like, you need to use the platform to use.
Like the idea of the media. Now, look, are there some people in the media that go too far, that, you know, use you for clicks and all this stuff? Yeah, but that's just the world. But if you're an artist and we should just enjoy the art, then that's fine. Then just be an artist then. But when you are saying the earth is flat and whatever else you're saying and putting out there in the world, and you expect that where there's no reaction, there's no nothing, the job of the media is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I'm stealing that from a newspaper, but that is exactly it. So when you are saying things that people disagree with or are annoyed by or make, like, that's the whole idea. You're a public person. You will be treated as such. So you want a comfort space? You got one. You got one.
He's a word artist.
You don't like that.
Are we word artists?
Well, I don't want you to be an artist. I want you to be a champion.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
If you want to be Bob Ross and you want to paint happy little trees, that's great. Then go to Rucker, because there's no media there. If you're about the arts, then go there, because the contract says you have to talk to the media.
Right, it's part of your,
like, anybody that's like, well, he, you know, like, he's a free person and he could do what he wants. No, he signed a contract. Ain't nothing free about that.
Yep.
It's in the deal that you have a requirement to speak to the media. That's part of the deal, and you're in the union, and the union agreed to that deal.
Yeah.
It is in your contract. If you'd like to breach that contract, that's fine. There's plenty of places where you can practice your art. In fact, there are a lot of people in the world who are artists who don't get paid what you get paid because they choose to be free and have control over their art.
Some go play with Marbury. Some go play where Marbury is at. I'm sure they won't say nothing. Yeah, go to China. They won't say
nothing. Actually, Steph was very happy playing there, too.
Yeah, but if you tell the team, hey, I don't want nobody having negative stuff about me, I'm sure they can get that done for you.
Well, I just thought it was interesting what he said. I'm not mad at him at all, but it's the inconsistency of his message.
Yeah,
the idea of
you're
an artist and so he wants a protected space, that's great. Your protected space then is go play at Rucker. Go play at West Fourth. Go play at Dyckman. Go play in Chicago. Go play somewhere where people don't bother you. Go to Venice Beach and play out there.
Yeah.
White Men Can't Jump. You can make some money on the side, but if you want to sign a contract with an organization that is a public-owned organization, that is a professional sports organization, there are requirements in that contract that you have to fulfill. That's why you signed it. Once you signed it, your freedoms, in that case anyway, it's not taking away a freedom. It's something you agreed to do. Someone had to convince him of that, and that's why he talked to the media.
It's fatiguing, man. Like, he fatigued.
It is.
We didn't even get started yet.
God bless you, Aaron Harris. God bless you, Aaron. Get through it, buddy. Could be a fun ride, but I'm sure for you it'd be a lot of sleepless nights. Are you good? Because we don't have much time left in the show.
Can I?
You straight? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. People make fun of my rapping, by the way. I sing better
yes,
than
you
rap. Can,
I admit
it.
Then mute. Yes, I can.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The Michael K. Show holiday broadcast is back this week. This year, we're giving you, it's this week, we're giving you a chance to hit the airwaves with Michael, Don, and Peter with your holiday hot take.
Hot.
Everyone's hot got them. So fire off one for your chance to win some holiday spending cash and your way on the air for the Michael K. Show holiday broadcast. That's tomorrow, December 16th. Dial in to the holiday hot take hotline.
Hot take.
What's happening? Hot stuff. Can you name that movie? Right now at 347-974-ESPN. That's 347-974-3776. Leave us a message with your best hot take.
Calm down. You don't want to get a damn heart attack.
Four winners will each score $250 and a shot at the spotlight during the show with the biggest names in sports. The Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN. We got like a little over a minute to go here. You want to grab a call?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. Dave in New Jersey. Come on, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
I called last week. I'm the Sick and Suffering Jets fan. I just want to switch topic real quick. No particular order.
You're going to have to do it in like 10 seconds if you can. Just give me quick.
Say
don't.
Barry Sanders, Randy Moss, Barnes Taylor, Michael Vick, Patrick Mahomes, and you can switch Vick and Deion Sanders.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
Prime time. Okay,
that's,
I like
I mean, that's
that. Maybe,
pretty
maybe,
solid. That's
maybe,
pretty
maybe
solid.
Tomorrow, maybe tomorrow we can start that list all over again.
I like that list.
For football.
See, when we get into the list, once we lose sports again because of COVID, God help us.
Yeah, yeah, let's save our list.
We can save that for the list, right? But that's a pretty good one. But the top five most watchable NBA players, which we talked with Jay, I'm like, I got Dame, I got KD, I got Luka, I got Zion for sure. And that last one, you know, it could be LeBron, but, you know, we'll get to fill the blank on that one. So you can tweet at us at Barton Hahn and give us some of your ideas on your list.
Yeah, give me Ja instead of Zion. Give me Ja because he played ferociously.
I'll tell you what.
He above the rim, too.
I'll see you tomorrow, bro.
I holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.